Morning, everybody. Be patient with me as I get set up here. I got my little station. I like the announcements being during the giving time and stuff. I think that's really neat. I think Tyler should do all of our announcements because that was awesome. He was like, it was good. I was into it. So I really do hope that you can come tonight to our area-wide service, though. I think it is going to be a really good time, really encouraging. It's always encouraging. Well, if you've been following the story of my family this last week, you know that this last week for us has been it's a pretty difficult, challenging, interesting kind of week. My father passed away last Sunday, Sunday afternoon, and so as many of you have gone through, that's kind of the whole week is just a very difficult, kind of stressful week to get everything ready for the memorial service, and you're dealing with all these emotions and everything. But I just want to thank you as a church family for how much love you've expressed to our family during this time. I mean, we've gotten our mailbox when we got back Friday night was full of cards. Melanie told me that because I left early last. I guess it was a couple Fridays ago when I got the phone call, and then my family was quick behind me. But she said that everybody that she called, we called one friend, and she said that one of our friends just said yes before we could say anything. Can you? Yes. What about yes? Don't, and he was just like, don't worry about it. We got it. We'll take care of it and stuff. I should have asked him for a new car or something like that. I don't know. But it was, man, because I think at that time he would have done that. But just thank you for all of our friends and family here that have supported us during this time. Really, really appreciate it. Because actually, oddly enough, I started writing this sermon the day that I got the phone call that I needed to get to Dallas. And it's going to be interesting. You'll see how interesting this is, because I'll tell you at the part where I got the phone call. But I started off writing, and I read Psalm 90, verse 12, which says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So as I was thinking about that verse, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom," I was like, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" Because really, I just wanted to stand up here and say, "Hey guys, use your time wisely. Come on. All right. See ya." You know, and then sit down, which all of you would have applauded and said, "Yay, we get to be out early." But so I did what any 21st century person would do. I Googled it. So I looked up this life expectancy calculator. That's scary. And I answered all the questions, and it was a long survey and stuff like that. So can you guess what age it says I will live to? Can you guess what age? What do you got? You can yell it out. It's okay. Huh? 68. All right. Okay. Let's get a little higher, guys. Come on. What do we want to give for it? We got a 2 to 10. You know, yeah. What else? 84. 82. Okay. 75. Okay. All right. Yeah. I was surprised. I was surprised because it said I will live till I'm 81. All right, so I got till 2061. That's what I'm talking about. All right, 2061. That means I have 15,714 days left. I have 2,242 weeks left. This is kind of the depressing one. I only have 516 months left. I have 42 years left of my life. And doesn't that put things into perspective? And right when I wrote the words, doesn't that put things into perspective? I got a phone call. My Aunt Sherry called me because my mom wasn't going to call me and let me know anything's wrong, because that's what moms do. They don't let their kids know that anything's wrong. Everything's great all the time. And so my Aunt Sherry called me and she said, "Paul, get to Dallas now." So I ran out of the office, got in the car, and I drove. Probably a little too fast, but I got to Dallas, and I was there in enough time, because I got there on Friday. My dad struggled. He went into hospice. He actually got transferred from the hospital to hospice facility, and 10 minutes after he got to his hospice room, he passed away. And me and Mom were in the room, and we were holding his hand, and me, Mom, Melanie, we were there, and we were holding his hand, and he just... His breathing changed, and then He just stopped breathing. And it was very, very, very surreal. But it takes me back to Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So that's what I want us to do right now. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I want you to think about your own mortality for a couple seconds. How many years do you think you have left on this earth? Just think about that. Just how many years? How many months? How many weeks? How many days? How many hours? How many seconds? All right. Isn't that a sobering thought? I mean, it's something that we tend to push back in the back of our minds and not think about, but there is something to thinking about our own mortality that causes us to wake up a little bit and straighten up and think about how we're living our life. You see, time is this invisible force that continually keeps slipping through our hands, you know, like sands through the hourglass. You watch that show? How dare you guys? That's just messed up. You guys should be ashamed of yourself. Wow. I wasn't expecting everybody to know that. I mean, man, Stefano is a good bad, he's a bad guy though, a good bad guy. But anyway, alright. So to quote the great philosophers, you know, Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, you know, all we are is dust in the wind, dude. You know, Bill and Ted's a good movie. But throughout history, philosophers have tried to figure this out. You know, Aristotle has said, time is the most unknown of all unknown things. Musicians have sang about it. You know, time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. Oh, good. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was funny that I like had Steve Miller Band and Aristotle right next to each other. I thought that was pretty funny. But we still can't get our heads around it. No matter how much we think about it and what we do. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, isn't it funny how day to day nothing changes, but when you look back, everything is different. And I think that's so true. I laughed the other day because I realized how much of my life has changed. I mean, I was looking in the mirror the other day and I was like, where did my hair go? You know, it just kept like receding and receding until it just, I don't know, it just left my head. You know, why is there gray hair in my beard? You know, when did my kids' music get too loud? You know, when did I start really wanting to go to bed at 9 o'clock? You know, and I thought that was a good day, you know. And the answer, it all has to do with time. It all has to do with time. And so this morning, I want to talk to two different groups of people. All right, two different groups of people. Group number one are those that think they're going to live forever. Now, I know logically we don't think we're going to live forever, but you know, I'm at that age where I'm just now thinking that I might not be invincible. You know, I'm 38, about to be 39, and up until this point, I didn't think about death. I didn't think about my own mortality. I didn't think about any of those things. You know, I thought I have all the time in the world. Yeah, why do something today when I can put it off till tomorrow? You know, that kind of mentality of just, whatever, I'll work on that later. You know, today I'm going to eat what I want because it really doesn't matter. I'll go to the gym tomorrow, which I've been saying that for a few years now. But, you know, there is a group of people in here right now that think they're going to live forever. You think you're invincible. You haven't even thought about your own mortality. And Scripture actually has these people in mind when they say this in James chapter 4. It says, now listen, you who say today and tomorrow we will go to this city or that, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. How many of us have done this? We get so focused on our plans that we completely miss what God's plan is for our life. We spend our time thinking all about our business, but we rarely think about God's business and what He's up to. We fill our lives with so many things that don't matter, it blinds us from the things that really do. Scripture teaches over and over. This is a constant message through Scripture to remind us of how short our life is and how precious it is. In Psalm 39, verse 5, it says, "You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand." No longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Psalm 102 says, "My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like the grass." Job chapter 9 says, "My days are like a runner. They flee away." And when I was trying to get my head around this idea of you are a mist that appears for a little while then vanishes, I was trying to really grapple with that and stuff. And the closest thing I could think of was your life is like a bubble. All right. And I'm glad I got this thing out before, because I was over there before service going, "Get out of the bottle." But just check this out. All right. Your life is like a bubble. All right. Let me see if I can do this. Please work. All right. I'm the first to probably quote Steve Miller Band and to blow bubbles from this pulpit. Oh, look at that. Yeah. It's good times. All right. So think about that. Your life is merely a bubble. That's how quick life is. All right? And as I'm doing this, what I want you to think about is, knowing that you have such a short time on this earth, how does this change the priorities in your life right now? And we're gone. Oh, that one's going to stay. You're going to do that. Yeah. There's one up here that's just staying just to spite me. Okay. But how does this change the priority of, like, tomorrow morning when you wake up? Oh, wow, that one was short. All right. How does this change the priority of your life, knowing that your life is so short? It just goes by like that. It should make us stand up and take notice. The book of Ecclesiastes says it this way: "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." How much of the time that you spend during the week is just meaningless? It's just a chasing after the wind. Now, sure, you're busy. We're all busy. But what are you busy with? What are you stressed out about? What are the things in your life that consume you? And so many times, it's those things that are just a chasing after the wind. We chase after those things that are really, they're going to be buried, like they're going to go away when we go away. They're going to be no more, but we spend so much of our energy and our time and our talent and our money pursuing these things. And God, all throughout Scripture, is just telling us simply, wake up. Wake up to the fact that you don't have very much time on this earth. That life is precious. And it's not just meant to waste on things like Netflix binge watching stuff that can just take hours and hours of our day. The one thing that is not meaningless, I believe, is people. Billy Graham said it this way. He said, "Time is the capital that God has given us to invest. People are the stocks in which we are to invest our time, whether they're blue chip or penny stocks or even junk bonds. People are what we invest our time in." Scripture tells us in Matthew 25, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." James says this: "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless." Basically, that's what he's saying, is what you should do with your time is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unpolluted from the world. It doesn't get any simpler than this. What do I do with my time? You love God and you love people. You love God and you love people. I know it's simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy because I don't know about you, but I don't want to give up my time. I'll give you my money, but don't ask for my time. Because I think my time is precious and limited, and time is money, and we hear all those different things all the time and stuff. Time is valuable, but it should be given to people. So my encouragement for that group number one, those people that think they're going to live forever, realize that time is short. Yeah, maybe just like me, you may have 42 years left, according to the life expectancy calculator. And that seems like a long time, but it's really not. And I'm not even guaranteed that. Just because Google says it doesn't make it true. I mean, this next week, I could be one of that bubble that just popped immediately. I don't know. I don't know when my time is up. No matter how much scientific discoveries we make, they're not going to be able to hold life in their hand like that. You need to realize that time is short. You need to realize that life is not about you. And the quicker you realize this, the better your life will be. Life is not about you. It's about God. And we must reorganize our priorities around Him and not us. I don't care what your agenda is. I don't care what your goals are. Think about what God's goals are for this world. Think about what God wants to do. And we rearrange or realign our lives with Him. But I think so many times when we pray, we expect Him to realign His will with us. And that's not the way life works. We must, with the time that we have left, figure out how we're going to serve Him. And if you have more time left, then that means just more years to serve Him. But there's a second group I want to talk to as well. Group number two is those that think that life has passed them by. These are those that who think they have nothing to offer because of their age. They feel like life has passed them by and they're past the prime of their life. They live and act as they are retired, whatever that word means, you know, to cease work. Well, you know, God, in God's kingdom, you don't retire. You spend your time, you take the time that you were spending making money and doing all that stuff, and you channel that into other areas to be a full-time minister. That's what you do. You minister full-time in this world and use your talents that way. And I'm sorry that our culture has disregarded those who are older. I feel like our culture sometimes has kind of thrown those people away and said, as you get to a certain age, you just kind of are not needed anymore and you can move on and we're not going to listen to you and stuff. In our culture, what we've done is we've idolized youth. We always talk about, oh, just the youth and all the beauty products that are coming out are about youth and looking more youthful and young and all these other things. But I want to tell you, that's cultural. To God, age is just a number. Moses was 80 when God called him to deliver His people from Egypt. Why? Because it's not about Moses. It's about God. Anna, who was well over 100, continued to tell people about the coming Christ. Abraham was 75 when he was called to leave Ur. Age is just a number to God. As most of you know, like I mentioned earlier, that we had the memorial service for my dad on Thursday. He would have been 69 years old tomorrow. Tomorrow was his birthday. He had health problems most of his life. He was actually one of the most introverted and shy men you'll ever meet. He really wouldn't talk to you. And then when he talked to you, you'd really have to listen because, you know, I'd be like, how's it going, Dad? He's like, you know, he kind of had this mumble thing going on and stuff. It was actually kind of funny. But he wasn't articulate and he wasn't a very educated man at all. But I learned something about my dad at the funeral service. That I'm kind of sad I didn't know. But people got up over and over and over again and they talked about how my dad, during his retirement years, had over 2,000 students that he was currently teaching in World Bible School. He went visiting and studied the gospel with people every Monday night, many of which that he baptized and that were at his memorial service. Talked about how he volunteered for Lifeline Chaplaincy for 6 years and worked in a couple hospitals. Talked about how he went into prisons to teach them about the love of Christ. Even a former prisoner got up and talked about how much my dad meant to him, saying that he came in and he didn't consider himself better than anybody in that prison, but just served and loved people. Now I want to tell you, a man who was in poor health, didn't have all the answers, and was incredibly shy. If he can make that impact on people's lives, what can you do? What can you do with the time, talent, and treasures that you have? You know, I don't sit here and weep that my dad is gone. The last conversation I had with him, I said, "Dad, you know, Dad, the doctors are going to take good care of you. You know, they're going to make you comfortable. They're going to take good care of you." And he told me, he said, "Paul, if the doctors don't, the Lord sure will." And that's the attitude that he had, you know. So why would we weep for saints that have gone to be with the Lord? You know, why do we act like death is the worst thing in the world? Death is not the worst thing in the world. I mean, all these emails that I continually get from Prayers Go Up and all these other things, which, you know, are all about, please pray for this person because they're sick, and please pray for this person that's sick, and they're sick, and they're sick, and they're sick, and they're sick, and stuff like that. Now, I'm honored to pray for those people. I'm honored to pray for those people. But I don't weep over saints who are sick. I weep over the lost that don't know Christ. I weep over people who sit in our church and come Sunday after Sunday and who are content with allowing 20% to do 100% of the work. I weep over those people who haven't really, truly followed Christ with their lives. They've just played church their entire lives. I worry about the people in our community that are far away from God, that don't know of the hope that they could have. I worry about those people. I weep over those people. I weep over those who have so much time, talent, and treasures, and they spend it all on themselves. Can you believe that? How selfish is that? I weep for those at their funerals that all that could be said is, "Well, you know, he sure did love fishing. He was a good fisherman. Man, he loved fishing." Or, "She sure did love to play dominoes. I mean, dominoes were just her favorite thing. Is she really..." What? Is that what life is about? Is that what life is about? Scripture has a word for the people in that position right now, and it's in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." We need to wake up. We need to wake up to the gifts God has given you. You need to wake up to the needs around you. You need to wake up to the call that God has on your life. You need to wake up to the legacy that God wants you to leave in this world right now. It's time to wake up. Turn to Ephesians, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Because right after this wake up verse, it goes on to say this. This is the context. You know, how do we wake up? How do we wake up to the reality? It starts in verse 15. He says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise." What he's saying is, do something with your life. Don't just live as unwise, just kind of being tossed about by the wind of your schedule or whatever everybody else wants you to do. Think about how you want to be remembered. Think about what God is asking you to do. Think about those things and live in that. "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And in one version it says, "redeeming the time." Redeeming the time. And that's what we need to do. We need to buy back our time. We need to redeem it. We need to repurpose it. You know, when you, I used to collect like aluminum cans and sell them and stuff for a little change and stuff like that. And what they did with that aluminum is they redeemed it and they used it for a different purpose. They transformed it for another purpose. And that's what we need to do with our time. We need to redeem the time. We need to repurpose the time that we're using and spend it in ways that will glorify the Lord. Because this, it continues to say, it says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Do you understand what the Lord's will is for your life? If you don't, that's foolishness. If you don't get your nose in the Word, if you don't get on your knees in prayer, if you don't cry out to God and say, "God, what do you want me to do with my life?" Wake up every morning and say, "Spirit, please guide me, lead me. What do you want me to do?" Don't live as unwise. Don't be foolish. It says this in verse 18, "Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." What it's saying is, don't just, if you get drunk on wine, you're just going to be useless. You just, and I think we can exchange getting drunk on wine with however you self-medicate. Whatever that is, maybe that is Netflix, maybe that is other things that you just use to, maybe that is the little snake game on your phone. Man, that's old school. Sorry, I went all old school with the phone, the snake game. But you know, it may, whatever it is, Don't do any of that stuff. Be filled with the Spirit. It goes on in verse 19. It says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and sing and make music to your heart, to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, and as a good Church Christ person, we always use that to justify why we don't have instruments. It doesn't talk about that. It says, get up and live as an encouragement to the world. Continually have the Word of God on your lips. Encourage one another. Speak psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Do whatever you can to encourage one another, because don't we need encouragement to stay the course? This is a hard life we're living. And you spend your time with people. Invest in people, not for your glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what He wants you to do. That's how we spend our time. So, if you're in group number one, and you think you're invincible and you're going to live forever, number your days. Number your days. Keep mortality in the forefront of your mind and make sure that those days are filled with things that really matter. Do an inventory. When you leave today, do an inventory of your life. Figure out those things that really matter. And if you're in group number two and you think that you're past your prime and you have little to offer, you need to wake up. Don't believe the lie that the culture has told you. Wake up and open your eyes to the great potential God has put inside of you and dedicate to use everything that you have to glorify Him. May God bless us with all the perspective that our time is limited, and how we spend our time really does matter. It really does. Don't let time slip through your hands. Use it for the glory of God. I think this video that we're going to show really sums up everything that I've been saying very nicely. So watch the screens.
Here's the deal. We all know that life is busy. There aren't enough hours in the day to do all the things that we want and need to do. In fact, you're probably thinking of all the things you need to do next week right now, wondering how you're going to squeeze it all in. But the fact is, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter how much is on your plate, we all have the same gift of 24 hours each day. It's 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. All the money in the world won't let you buy one single second more than the next guy. And once that second is gone, it's gone forever. Look, there goes one right now. Another one, gone. You'd think that we would judiciously use such a limited and valuable gift. You'd think that we would choose wisely how to spend. No, invest our time. But do we? Really? And after taking the time for eating and sleeping and all the other basic necessities, do we really use this gift the way we should? Think of all the great things you could do in 24 hours, all the lives you could touch, all the significant changes that could be made in your life and others. The fact is, you could actually make a difference in this world in 24 hours, or not. So, how are you investing your time?
Let's all stand. Father God, just for today, help me walk your narrow way. Help me stand when I might fall. Give me the strength to hear your call. May my steps be worship.